I'm still dealing with the attribute of grace. And an attribute is how I know who you are. Other than that, you're just as much a flesh and bone. But your attributes is what tells me who you are. If you're quick to anger, or if you're slow to anger, if you're quick to take offense, or if you're slow to take offense, if you're patient, if you're long-suffering, those are the things that tells me what kind of person you are. And the attributes tell us exactly what God is. That's the only way we can know Him. And we have to get down today where we have to define it. I'm going to read the first scripture, Titus 2, 11 through 15, and I may refer to this again at the last. 2:11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly and righteously and godly in this present world. Now, soberly there doesn't mean sober from drinking, but you can be overindulgent in anything, anger, frustration. And sober there means that get your life in order. Righteously and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us that He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto Himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. Verse 11, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared. Then in still in the same book, chapter 3 and verse 5 through 7. Not by the works of righteousness, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Lord, that being justified by His grace, there it is, you see, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Not by works of righteousness, we'll deal with also in a minute. Ephesians 2, dealing with that grace, and I've read this before, but we'll read it again. That's 1st, 2nd Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, chapter 2, and I'll read verses 8 through 10. These other scriptures we read said that nothing that you've done had anything to do with you getting any grace of God. We come again, that's the emphasis here. Nothing that you've ever done brought you the grace of God. Verse 8, Ephesians 2, 8. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. That is, you did nothing that you've done that brought the grace. It is the gift of God. What is a compound subject, grace and faith, both. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Let's bow our heads again for prayer. Our Father, we thank You again for Thy mercy and Thy grace. Grace that's greater than all our sins. Wonderful grace, marvelous grace, matchless grace, infinite grace. Grace that cannot be described in our weak terms, the best we can. We don't hardly touch the hem of the garment. We pray this morning, our Father, that Thou wouldst bless, that You'd open our ears, our eyes, our hearts, that we may see, hear, and understand, and grasp the word that we need to grasp. May the Holy Spirit be our unseen guest and move up and down the aisles and the benches and in the pew and the pulpit, that we may, our Father, be used in this hour to receive and to aid us in living this pilgrim journey that You've laid before us. For we ask it in Christ's name and for His glory. Amen. Now, I'm going to give you several fundamental facts about grace, and I'm going to have to go into some detail, but I won't hold you too long. And I'll get right into them. There's several fundamental facts about grace, and the first one is grace is not withheld because from any man because of extreme wickedness. Now follow me. In other words, I put it this way: we say that grace is the unmerited favor of God. And nobody ever knows what unmerited means, or merit means. And I just thinking the other day, I do the crossword puzzle. And recently it's had the word in there several times, earn. And so I kept good thinking. And I look over there, and there's a five-letter word, and I'd have a couple of them, maybe M and T. And I say, it's merit, M-E-R-I-T. So merit means to earn, you see. And what he's talking about, by grace are you saved. And that not of yourself. You didn't merit it. You didn't earn it, you see. And when we say the unmerited favor of God, it means that you did not earn one thing that you've got to put you before God. I don't care how good you are. I don't care what you've done. Grace doesn't merit anything with God until you're saved, and then you get rewards for what you do for others. It still doesn't merit any grace of God. Now, I'll look at it just a moment. Or I'll say this, grace is not withheld because of demerit. That same thing. I said, grace is not withheld because of wickedness. How wicked you are. How mean you are. How ungodly you are. And another way of saying it, grace is not withheld because of demerit. Anything that you could earn. I take a few in the Bible. There's the woman at the well. She doesn't merit salvation. What is it? She's got five men she's living with. She's a harlot of the worst sort. She's not even looking for salvation. But when he left, he said he must needs go through Samaria. Why must he needs go through Samaria? There's other routes he could take, a shorter route. But he must needs go through Samaria. Why? Because one of God's children's there, that what? He's going to give grace to. She doesn't earn it. She doesn't merit it. But he's going to give her grace in that hour when he meets her. And so what's she do? She comes out because she's a harlot at the noontime hour, the hottest time of the day. Because nobody, she don't want to meet anybody. Everybody's put her down. Somebody may stone her. So she comes out at the very noontime hour. And what's she do? She finds him propped up on the well. And so he says to her, give me some water. And she said, you being a Jew would ask me of water. He said, if you'd ask me of the water of life, you'd never drink thirst again. And she didn't understand it first, but he opened her eyes and gave her grace. And what she said, give me that water that I never thirst again. And she went back and told the five men what she'd heard and what she'd done and what he'd done to her. What had he done? She didn't merit. As unmerited favor of God. It's not given out. Grace is not given out because of how wicked you are, how mean you are, how ungodly you are. But it's given out what? Because God is a gracious God. And he gives it out. Whom he sovereignly desires to give it out to. I know I was very wicked. My daddy, as I said, was a very wicked man. He died like he lived. And I looked in his casket, and I see as a man that never, the only thing, he never left this world a bit better than he found it. He left it worse. Unless it could be something said for his children. But he never cared one thing about me. So I said, he never so much as give my children a diaper pen. And they said of me, the old Paul Stevens, just like his daddy. And when I said that God had saved me, the deacons of Warrior Creek Church said, that's not so. He isn't fit to be saved. But I knew enough about it then to know one thing. I didn't know about the scriptures, but I knew one thing. When they said he ain't fit to be saved, I said, they told the truth. They told the truth. I wasn't fit to be saved. God didn't save me because I had merit. Because I earned anything. But what grace, what I did not earn. He gave it to me. Because I was such a wicked, ungodly devil. Grace, I'm saying, is not withheld. Because of how wicked a man he is. I believe with all my heart there's not one sin in this world. I hear preach on the unpardonable sin. There's not a sin in this world that the blood of Christ will not cover. And I think this Bible will substantiate that. We'll see about it a little bit more in a minute. Grace ceases to be grace if God has to withhold it in the face of wickedness. Now, you may take your child and get so wicked and say, well, I'm just going to withhold everything I've got from you. But see, because, but with God, grace, man never gets so wicked. If he ever gets so wicked that God withholds his grace from him, then it's not grace. It's not grace. It's demerit. It's demerit. He saves outrageous sinners. Outrageous sinners. That man across, Jesus took the boat and went across the Sea of Galilee to the little city of Gadara. And as that man is filled, we know he is filled with over 2,000 demons. And the Bible implies that some men have multiplied many, many demons. We know one man had 7 demons in him. Mary Magdalene was filled with demons. And I still believe that the demon, I believe this whole age is demon possessed. Their music is demon possessed. They tell what it all they got is sex and dope, sex and dope, sex and dope. And we got yet to know how much the music that our children listen to and eat up and listen to it with longing and earnestness, how much of it is dragging them down to the hell and degradation. But only God by his grace can reach down and drag one of them out of that mess that they've got into now. He saves outrageous sinners. He cast 2,000 demons out of that man. And they said, we don't want you. He said, all right, I'll go back across. So he left the whole city. Save one man in it. Say, God wants to save sinners. God wants to save sinners. God wants to save sinners. He saved one in Gadara and let the rest of them go to hell and took his way. Went back across the Sea of Galilee. He went into the city of Jericho. He saved 2 people. He saved a blind man outside the city of Jericho and only one inside. That was Zacchaeus. So grace is not withheld because of demerit, because of wickedness. And I go, Jesus began Mary Magdalene, out of whom he cast the demons, who at that time got down at his feet, bathed him with precious ointment, and wiped him with the hairs of her head. And they rebuked her for it. And he said, no, she's anointing me for my death. He'd saved her. He'd saved her. I don't advocate anybody getting into deep wickedness. I don't advocate anybody going as wicked as it can be and getting down to the very depths of hell. But I'll say this much, and I know the Bible sustains it, that man has been down in the depths of hell. He'll love Jesus more. And Jesus said it himself. He said to Peter, when she bathed his feet with it, he gave him a parable. And he said, here's a man that had owed his master a 10 talents. And he forgave him. And here's a man owed him 1 talent. He forgave him. He said, which one would love him the most? He said, I suppose he whom he forgave the most. I know good people can love the Lord. But we are taught that man walking. And I don't advocate any man walking in the depths of hell. But when he's been down there, he knows more about it. I lay awake at night and I get to thinking how awful it is about my children and about the people here, the children here and the church. And when I hear some, it bothers me and disturbs me more than it would somebody else. Why? Because I know more about what God does and how God acts than that other fellow does. That's why it does disturb him, but it disturbs me. God saves respectable sinners. Nicodemus. A fine religious fellow. Zacchaeus is a fine religious fellow. Joseph of Arimathea is a fine religious fellow. But none of them merited salvation. They didn't deserve the grace of God. Grace is not withheld, I said, because of demerit. Now I'm going to jump over to just put the opposite of that. Grace is not given. Grace is not given because of merit. It's not withheld because of badness or demerit. It's not withheld because you can't earn it. And it's not given because you think you merit it. You know their people. They look down their nose at other people, you know. I don't smoke, never did drink, never did cuss, never did chew, never did watch television. I was a virgin. And I'm this, and I'm that, and I'm a singer. Yeah, and you, hell will be full of that kind. Hell will be full of them.
not given.
Because you earned it. You merited it.
I've heard evangelists say, back yonder, they don't do it so much now because we don't listen to radio much now. But they say, bow by your radio, put your hand on your radio, pray the sinner's prayer, and Jesus will have to save you. Then that means that you earned it. He doesn't have to do anything in it. Well, grace doesn't have to do anything. No man merits, no man earns any of the grace of God Almighty. It's handed out to him. I read the scriptures to you a while ago. I read you another in Romans 4:4. Don't look at it. Not to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned, but of death. The man that works is not going to get grace. He'll work because he has grace. And there are people, listen to me, there are people who, you John D. Rockefeller, he walked on widows and orphans. I read Ida Tarbell as the first use of the Sherman Antitrust Act against John D. Rockefeller. He was a millionaire time he was 30. He was a billionaire time he was 40, many times over. But he and Carnegie, who owned the railroads, he'd tell his friend, he said, now listen, these old women here, they're with us. They're crude oil shipped in barrels. You leave their barrels on the platform at the railroad station and ship mine. And so they would do it because they were buddies. And those old widows would go bankrupt and John D. Rockefeller didn't buy it up for nothing. It said that he crushed out women, widows, and orphans as you would crush out the insect. And he himself said, the American beauty rose owes its beauty to the fact that you pinch off all the buds except one. And that's what he's saying is, I'm that one bud. And he what? The old man got an awful fix. I don't know whether he's ever saved or not, but he put up a trust fund of $400 million to fight disease. And I've told you this before. Down here, children were dying of hookworm. They were dying with everything else in the world you could think of. I need to put down in the deep south to clear up a lot of these diseases. But I don't know whether he ever made it or not. But he did. He didn't get it because he gave $400 million. I'm going to give you three or four examples now on this. And if I don't get through, it's all right. But I noticed in the paper this morning that Mother Teresa, she's a Catholic nun in India. She's 79 years old. She's had a heart attack. They're putting a pacemaker in her. Pictures in the paper today. She has traveled for 50-something years, although about 59 years. She's traveled all over India among the lepers and the children dying. And she's given everything she's had and given her life. And as a man from England came over here to make a documentary with Dr. Criswell, trying to put down what we believe and what we believe about the Bible and all. And he was himself wasn't saved, but he thinks he is. And he asked Dr. Criswell and his associate, said, do you mean to tell me that Mother Teresa's going to go to hell? He said, certainly she is. She'll go to hell as straight as Martin is gored. It was what she's depending on her work in the Catholic Church. You can't merit. You can't merit the grace of God Almighty. You can't earn it, the grace of God Almighty. Yet she spent 59 years giving her life and every dime she could rake and scrape, beg, borrow, and steal. To what? To helping other people. I'll give you another one. And here's one you can get in trouble right quick with if you're not anywhere else. Martin Luther King. He walked in, he marched, and he spent time in prison. Many times he's been in prison. He marched in what? The FBI bugged his rooms. He didn't believe this Bible. He said he didn't believe it. He was an hard critic. He didn't believe in the virgin birth, the blood of Trump, substitutionary death of Christ, or nothing. You don't earn grace. And no man's going to get grace that denies this book. I'll give you another one. Albert Schweitzer left Germany a prominent surgeon. And he went down into Africa to minister to the Negroes in Africa. This has been 75 years ago. He's dead now. Died a few years ago. 50-something years he stayed down and ministered to them. He did not believe Jesus was the Son of God. He did not believe Jesus was God of every God. I told you before I went down, I went to read his books. And I went down to the library. Wife was working, children going to school. It was a rainy week. I'd go down every day and I'd read his books. He had one on the quest, that is the search for the historical Jesus. And then he said that Jesus was a fanatical Jew. Was trying to search for a sort of a utopia. And since he couldn't get the Jews to follow him, he threw himself in the arms of death as a martyr. Albert Schweitzer served down there for 50-something years. He's dead and in hell today. And you can get an argument there pretty quick. And I could go on and on and on. Even this country, Harry Emerson Fosdick, many multitudes of preachers and outstanding leaders. What? They think because they work, they're going to get. They're not going to earn a thing. God rewards you for what you do in his name. But you're not going to get. He rewards you with other material things. He may reward you with life. He may reward, you may not get any material good. But he may say, I'm going to reward you. The greatest reward you can get is to open your heart and your ears and eyes to this truth. God's done you, giving you the greatest gift that he gave you. And that's not grace. That's a gift, you see. That's a reward for what you have done. But grace is something you don't earn. You don't earn it at all. I wish I had time to stay with that. But I'm going to go back here a minute. Get one more at least. Thirdly, grace does not change in its value because of wickedness. You buy a ring, buy your diamond ring. And you may give $500 for it. And depression come and it changed its value, not be worth $50. But grace never changes in its value. It's the same value 6,000 years ago when God saved Abel that it is today, or 52 or 3 years ago when it fell upon me. It never changed in value. And the thing that bothers me is, we had a man here about 20 years ago, 18 years ago, I'll say to be more accurate, 18 years ago. And the paper, our paper had all big headlines all the way across. And for 2 or 3 weeks that. And he owned and acknowledged and bragged about he had slain or murdered 6 men up in Virginia somewhere, 6 different people. And the newspaper blew him up, you know. And he was going to every church in the country. Big churches, little churches. They were getting him. Come, come, look. What's he talking about? What's he got? He had no message from Christ. He had no message from God. He had no message from the Bible. But all you tell you how many people he murdered. How wicked he'd been. And one man's preacher out here, preached around a few places. He said to me, he said, I've been trying to get him in my pulpit, and I've offered several hundred dollars. That'd be like several thousand now, trying to get him to come, my pulpit. I said, what you want him for? He said, I want him there. A crowd will come. I said, I wouldn't have him in my church. About a month after that, he was gambling. They found 2 men dead down there in Spartanburg near the park in the car. They knew he had been with them, so they went and picked him up, and he'd gone to all these churches and got all this money. And they went gambling. They got everything he had gambling. And 2 men can always gamble against one if he don't know much, take everything he's got. And then what did he do? He shot both of them and killed them and took all the money. Now he's serving time, he's spending his days. I guess he's about my age, 74, 75 years of age down there, what? The paper just blew him up. This man blew him. He thought what? Grace fluctuated, you see. But it's more for this man. He's so wicked. It takes more grace for this man. No, no. It doesn't fluctuate a bit. It's just as even. It's just been just as even then as it is now. Just as even in the day that God laid the foundation of this world as it is now. It hadn't changed one bit. It hadn't fluctuated like the stock market. It doesn't fluctuate up and down. God loves me. Listen. Listen, I have been brought to the place of such deep sorrow and deep hurt until I have cursed, like Peter, I have cursed God Almighty. But His grace never fluctuated, Billy. It didn't say, I love you more today, Paul, or I love you less. But it remained constant and fixed. It's measureless, thy song, infinite. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians 6 again. I'm going to read that one in these last few minutes. It's measureless. It's fixed. And it doesn't take any more. 1 Corinthians 6. They say, I read several articles. I read one the other day. Look at me a moment. And I heard a preacher say, and I've heard others say, that the homosexual is already ordained to hell and God can't save him. To say God can't do anything is wrong in the first place. But having biblical knowledge that God has saved homosexuals and can do it again if He wants to, is to speak against the Word of God. And I told a man, I said, listen, God has saved homosexuals, and I have no brief for them. I have no defense for them. But to say God cannot and will not save a homosexual is to put yourself in judgment against God Almighty and His Word. All right, 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 9. They read these two verses, but they don't read. They read 9 and 10, and they quote them in evangelists, but they never read verse 11. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate. That's men who act like women. Nor abusers of themselves with mankind. That's the homosexuals. The word is the gays, the abusers of themselves with mankind. Nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Now, that's one bad thing. But, and such were some of you. But you are washed, you are sanctified, but you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our Lord. Who is that? Those idolaters and fornicators and adulterers and homosexuals and thieves and covetous and drunkards and revilers and extortioners. What? They're the ones. What? Now, you've been washed. To say God cannot and will not save anybody is to sit in judgment on God Almighty and upon His Word. I said I have no brief for homosexuals and I have no brief for a lot of other people. But the grace of God is measureless. There's no depth to what He can't reach. And there's no height to which He can't go to save those whom God has chosen from the foundation of the world. My time is about gone. I had seven things. I got three of them. But I want to leave this last as an encouragement to you. Grace is ministered many times to the believer. And as I look back, I know so many times that God in His grace reached out and picked me up. I came back from the war, disillusioned, discouraged. And I said, I'm not going back to school. I'm not going to preach. I'm not going to do anything. And that next semester, I didn't go. And I was so miserable. But I kept saying, Lord, I don't want it. I don't want no part of it. Something about the war has changed my whole thinking, my life. Came a snow. School started, I think, second semester long in February, middle of February, I believe, last of February. Came a big snow. It just broke up everything, sleet and snow. He wasn't mad. We had an old dog. You know, they say when you get mad, you can't cuss your wife, kick the cat. So it came that terrible storm. I couldn't get out of the house. I had an old dog. And I believe the devil would have sent him. Well, God may have sent him around, you know, disturb my conscience. You do that. And so, said, not a dog. He keeps control of the dogs when children of Israel, 5 million of them, with all their cattle lowing and all their crowd going out, every dog in the country would be barking. But when they left Egypt, God said, not a dog. He shut their mouths. He tied their tongue. Not a dog barked that night. But that night, I just went up there and I went to sleep. And that old dog got to barking. Woke me up. And I couldn't get back to sleep. And I went down and got a shotgun. And he went around the house when that snow was sliding sideways. And I shot at him and missed him. He went on the house and I shot under the house 3 or 4 times, hoping I would kill him. Next morning, my daddy wasn't even a Christian. Got up, went to breakfast. I said, I guess you heard me last night. He said, yeah, I heard you making a fool out of yourself. What's God doing? He's using all that as an act of His grace to get me back in line. And you know what I did that day? I started packing my clothes. A few days later, I went up there and I told him, I said, I'll come up here. I want to get my name in the pot to eat. I'll be back to school. But all that's grace of God. He's picked me up, and that's just one. There are hundreds and hundreds of times He's picked me back up. You know what? There is restorative grace, you see. I used to hear Olive Green and quote this passage of Scripture and say the sinner's prayer and quote this passage. If we confess our sins, He is just and faithful to forgive us. We're not saved by confessing our sins. We're saved by believing. And the Bible read 1 John, my little children, not talking to lost sinners, it's talking to me and you. If we confess our sin, He is just and faithful to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But that's that grace that reaches down, 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 and picks me up and puts me on my pathway again. That's restorative grace. But grace, that comes many, many times. And many, many times I've known it. But this grace that brings salvation only appears one time. Romans 3, that's justification. Why? But the grace of God now has appeared, you see. That was Titus, but in Romans chapter 3. He says, but now the righteousness of God is revealed from heaven. That's restorative. There's saving grace. Saving grace. That only happens one time. But restorative grace may happen many, many times, as He picks us up and sends us on our pilgrim journey.